We will find an honorary place.
Parlor.
What do you
mean?
It's around the office, yeah.
Is it the office? You don't have some music that you gave up to the Rambam's kiva before, it was all done like this. And there was Americans there the days before I was an American, and I've never been to America, so I had a different opinion about Americans from that which I entertain today. And they said they had a lift up with their cameras slung around their shoulders and all that sort of thing, they wanted me to go. And I said, no, I'm not going. They said, why not? I said, I'm afraid. So one did American said, I'm not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. It won't do you any harm. He didn't ask me any further questions. He thought I didn't know what I was speaking about. So this is as near as I would go. But he died in Egypt. From Egypt he went to Israel. And then from Israel he went back to Egypt. And there is a lot of speculation on not why he went back, but how could he go back? And the secular world takes it that he went back because he couldn't make a living in Israel. Now, first of all, I can't believe that the Rambam couldn't make a living. He had such a reputation as a doctor. I can't believe that. And even if he could make a living, I can't believe that the Rambam would have gone back because of that, would have gone back to Egypt. There is a more serious question, and that is that according to the Din, one is not allowed to go back to Egypt. So the question is, then how did he go back to Egypt? He never gone back to Egypt. So one answer is, the Din of going back to Egypt only applies if you've been to Egypt and you leave Egypt, you're not allowed to go back. So if you've been to Egypt and you leave Egypt to go to Israel, you're not allowed to go back to Egypt. But then the question on the Rambam is that he was in Egypt and he left Egypt to go to Israel and he did go back. So the answer is that the answer that is usually given is that the issue is to go back the way in which we came out of Egypt originally. And he wouldn't have gone that way. He went a short way back to Egypt. That is the usual answer that is given. And I want to link it up with the reason of why the Rambam left Israel in the first place. And my answer to that is that he was in the Sultan's employ in Egypt. And he was his services, the Sultan relied on him for his services, because in the whole palace he looked after everybody there. All the Sultan's wives and concubines and all things like that, he looked after them. And when he left Egypt, he must have come to an arrangement with the Sultan that there are other doctors and it will be all right. But when he came to Tverya, I suppose the Sultan couldn't manage. And he told him he had to come back. And the Rambam knew, if he didn't say so explicitly, it was there, certainly implicitly, that if he didn't go back, that is as much as his life was worth, wherever he was. So he had no alternative but to go back. And then he died in Egypt, and the body was brought for burial to Tverya.
What year was it that he died in?
1204. It's nearly 800 years ago. And his body was brought for burial and then been to burial. So, you know, there are all sorts of strategies. Why exactly in Tverya? Possible that he went to Tverya. Why did he go to Tverya? Why didn't he go to Yerushalayim? Now, Yerushalayim and Hebron were the only two places that he could have gone to besides Tverya. And it is possible that he went to Tverya because it was his health reasons, the first instance, I don't know. It's possible that the Arabs didn't give a person a chance to go to Yerushalayim. That's the only place that they allowed one to go. It can be any of those reasons, one doesn't really know.
in the Ramon time that there was hardly any Emilianism in Yerushalayim at the time that they went there?
I don't think, Yosef, I don't think that there was any time that there was not even a Minyan there. I think they were always Jews in Yerushalayim and Hebron. They may have dwindled, and it seems it's failure. And there were always Jews. There seems to have been a lot more Jews than we are aware of. But that's what it seems to be, that there were Jews there. All right. So, if you ask me.
Yes,
we did. I remember that some of you did that in my show. All right. Right. Now, of the Gemara as we go along. I could have your attention, and we could run through the Gemara now because we've got a good idea of it. I beg your pardon? Dalid on the base. Also, the Goda is on the shelf of Yisashin, Yisashin, there is a field which is surrounded on three sides by the field of another one, that is the Makid. And this Makid goes and he puts a fence between his three fields and the field of the Nika. The Goda is on the shelf of Yisashin, Yisashin, and he fences in the three fields. Ein mechayev ino sei, then we are not mechayev the nikah to pay for those three fences. Right? And Rashi says the reason we are not mechayev the nikah to pay for those three fences, because, says Rashi, the nikah can say that this is a stam sodeh. And it's a stay lobon, it's a stam sodi, it's an open field. And for an open field, there is no necessity to make a fence between the fields. So since there's no necessity to make a fence between the fields, the nikah says very simply, there isn't a din and there isn't a minog to make a fence. I don't need a fence, I don't want a fence. So I'm not paying for it. Rabbi Yosei Omer, im omad the godar, im omad the godar es or viz, magalgalin or loves a code. Rabbi Yosei says, if he gets up and puts a fence round the fourth one, magalgalin or loves a code, then he's got to pay for all. So we learnt it the easier way, and that is, what happened first? The Makiv made a fence on the three sides, and the fourth side is open, then we say that the nikah has not got to pay anything at all. What happens now if the nikah fences in the fourth side? Then he shows that he is happy with the idea of the other three sides. Then the deen is, he's got to pay half of the three sides and the whole of the fourth side. That is the way we learned it. Because the makif has got no benefit of the fourth side. It's only the nikav that's got the benefit of the fourth side. Mm-hmm. And he puts it up for his own good. Got it, you're saying? That is seems that the makif doesn't own the property on the fourth side. Right. Now, let us do the Rashi. Hamakif is chaveru misholet uchosov. The makif surrounds its neighbor on three sides. Shekono gimel sodeh sodiv sodeh chaveru nishlem shokad mitzoreo. Because the makif, after the nikaf had bought this field, the makif buys the fields round about. And so when he buys the fields round about, he wants a division between his fields and the Nikaf's fields. The Godar Eshloshton So he makes a gated fence around the three sides. The Ninsoso Deushalem so is a mukov Misholoshusov. So now it works out that the fields of the middle one, the Nikap, is surrounded on, is fenced in on three sides. We don't obligate the Nikap to give anything, to pay anything. Because a Stam Biko is a place where it's a mokum shenoagu shelo digderu. It's like a place where the minute is not to make any fence. So when the makif asks the nikaf to pay, the nikaf's answer is, I don't owe you anything. I don't want a fence there. It's not necessary for me to have a fence there. That is his defense. And so in other words, what he is saying to the makif, you haven't benefited me in any way. So because the makif will say to you, well, at least I've benefited you on three sides. If you want to put up a fourth side, you've already got three sides, pay me for the three sides. He says, I don't need those three sides. Doesn't help me at all. It's a biko. It's a sedei loben. I don't need it at all. Now that is the way we learned Pshat in Rashi. The only thing is, what would be the point, what would be the position according to Rashi, if now the makif puts up the fourth side? Either the makif buys fields on the fourth side also, and now he puts up on the fourth side, or he puts up on the fourth side thinking to himself that he might be able to obligate the nikah. Now, Rashi makes it clear in Baba Kama, where this Mishnah is quoted, that it is what happens if the makif puts up the fourth side, he buys a field on the fourth side. And now he puts up the fourth side. That is the way now the thing is, if makif now comes to the nikah and says, I want to be paid for it, he can still say that it's a bikur, and if it's a bikur, then I don't have to be paid at all for it. If it's a bikur, then there's no din to put it up. There's no necessity to put it up. So why have I got to pay for it? But now we've got another law. And this is a law. The Gemara in Bava Betzia explains that if I've got a piece of property and a stranger comes in and improves this piece of property, to be more explicit, the case that is discussed there, there is a sedei loven, a biko, an open field. And a stranger comes in, another one comes in, and plants tomatoes on that field. Now, tomatoes is far more profitable than corn or wheat or anything like that. So he has improved his field. Then the thing is that the owner of the field must pay the planter for the improvement. Is that correct?
I feel it's a little bit of control. Even though it's not the
Yes, but he didn't object to it. So he's got to pay. Now the only question is, at what rate has he got to pay? How do we assess it? It says in the Gemara, Shamino so. Rav and Shmuel both agree, Shamino so. We assess it.
Mm-hmm.
The question is only what the assessment is. But there is no question that he's got to pay. Now, if four sides of the field are fenced in, is there any benefit at all to the nikah? But there is certainly benefit. Because he is protected, people can't just walk in. The animals of the makif can't just walk into the fields of the nikah. So the Maharsho says very clearly that there is no question that he's got to pay. The question is how much he's got to pay, at what rate he's got to pay. But there's no question that the nikkat has got to pay. And that is exactly what Rashi says in Bava Kamma. Rashi says in Bava Kamma, Ein mechayvin eso, Ein mechayvin es Shimon, who is the nikkat klum, anything at all. Demai ahanilei, harei sodeil pesucho mitzad revis, because his field is open on the four sides. For the bees or imhoyo lo live uben dalet so those may arba rucho shel shimo. The godron the chayvin is shimo loses es chelko vimechitos apenimios she they know live uben. But then there's no question that if shimo puts up the fourth fence, that Reuven has got to pay. And the reason he's got to pay is only because of, as we discussed it, of this law, that if another person comes in and enhances my property, I have to pay him for what he has done. Question is how much he's got to pay him, and that we'll probably see in the Tosfos. Got the idea? Now, let us go on from there. Now there is the Agor, so let us learn the Agor. Excuse me, I just want to get something to drink. Says, I've told you you've got the place.
Yes.
The Agor says, Tosefes Moreinu Shmuel. So, the Moreinu Shmuel says as follows, and that's obviously the Rashba, Rashi's grandson. Veli mire taimo mishum da'akati lo mahani le mili. Says the Rashbam, the reed, to me would appear the reason would be that he hasn't helped him in any way. Because if the maki fenced in only three sides, then all, anything can, anybody or anything can come in from the fourth side. Now comes his point. Avolim koda revis. But if the Makib fences in the fourth side, Machaivina said Kidamrina means Gemara, as we say in the Gemara, that he's got to pay. But Apa Gadamrina le Eldis Tambika Mokum Shenuagu Shlowli Doru, although we say that Stambiko Mokum Shenuagu Shlowli Doru, he says, Hani Mili Bain Biko le Biko. This is a wall between one biko and another biko. The chosel govera dalet amos, and a wall that is high 4 cubits, that is at least 6 feet. Leshom hu de lobo inon. There we say that we do not need a wall. The leko hezikrio, because in a biko there is no hezikrio. Avo bishvil hezik behemos shelo he consuli sode, but because of hezik behemos, that the behemos shouldn't go. Behemos are animals, cattle to be more strict. But avo bishvil hezik behemos, but because of the damage that behemos can do, shelo he consuli sode, that they shouldn't enter the field. So if we don't get it, shelo asore tfochim, there is necessary to put up a gedder of 10 tfochim. That is, instead of 75 inches, 40 inches, and it can be flimsy, to prevent the behemoths from going in. Now, so we see there's a divergence between Rashi and the Rashbam in how to learn this Gemara simply. Rashi learns it that it is a question of putting up a substantial wall, because that is what we are speaking about in the Mishnah. To put up a substantial wall, whether it is of gozis or gavil or gozis, whatever it may be, gavil or gozis or kafisin or levaini, but it is to put up a substantial wall. So Rashi rightly says, a substantial wall I don't have to put up. Not necessary. But if he puts up the fourth wall, then according to Rashi, we learned that he would have to pay him. And Rashi is learning about a substantial wall. He would have to pay him for a substantial wall. The only thing is, where he can get away with it, he can say that as far as a substantial wall is concerned, I don't have any benefit from a substantial wall. The same benefit that I have from a substantial wall, I could have from the Meikonim Gadol, a wall of Konim. So therefore, Rashi would say that if the Makif does put up the fourth side, and he's got, and the Makif puts up a fourth side of Godis or Gavil, the Nikaf will say to him, yes, now I'm getting benefit from it, it's true, but the benefit I have got from it is benefit that I could have got with Demei Konim Bezel. So I'm prepared to pay my portion on the basis of Demei Konim Bezel. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
That is the way Rashi would learn it. The Rashbam learns it that Lechatchilo, Lechatchilo we are speaking about, it's not speaking about a big fence at all, but Lechatchilo it is speaking only about a flimsy fence to keep out the animals. Now, yes, so Hochigar Sinon, the it goes on. Rabbi Yose Omer im Omar begodar es im Omar begodar es or abiz velogar sinon nika, and we are not geiris nika. Now it seems hago v'chein gefirush rach umiu anika meparshim lokomar. And the Rach also says that we don't have to put in Nikah. He says, nevertheless, we explain later on in the Gemara that the Im Omar the Godar is or Rabiz, it is speaking about the Nikah. But we don't have to put in Nikah. We don't say Rabbi Yosef Omer Im Omar Nikah, Im Godar Nikah is or Rabiz. We just say Im Omar the Godar is or Rabiz. And we know it must refer to the Nikaf, because Im Omar means it's not the same person that did the Akefo in the first instance. And so it's Muchach in Perek Beis of Bavakama, that it's speaking about the Nikaf. Diktoni Im Omar, Benekatoni Im Goda. It says, if he stood up, it doesn't say if he fences. If it would be speaking about the Maki who fenced in the first three, it should say in Goda Resorabiz, and if he fenced in the fourth, but it says in Omar the Goda. So it shows that this is a different person, it's not the same person. And that is the Sefer Mareinu Shmuel Adkar. Megalgalino Loves Akol, this is Rabbi Yosei says, that if the Nikaf now puts up the fourth, loses Chelko Vishloshes or Vishonas. He's got to give his part in the three others. The Chivin the Godar is a Tzadapasuach, because now that the Nikaf has fenced in the fourth side, Goritaike the Nichalei B'mai the Godar Chavrei. He reveals his mind that he's pleased with what the Makif did. And so we've got a pretty good idea, pretty good idea of the Mishnah. So we've learned the Mishnah, we've got it shut in the Mishnah. Any questions on that?
Correct.
Okay. But Gagli means literally we roll onto him. You see, until now he was Potter. And now we roll onto him the others.
Hmm.
Now we roll onto him for everything. He's got to pay half for the three and the full for the fourth. Unless it is as Rashi says about the Kama. If the... you're speaking about Nikaf, that's right. Now, since the Nikaf put it in, he's speaking the Nikaf puts in the fourth side. Rabbi Yosef is speaking the Nikaf puts in the fourth side. then he's got to pay the whole of the fourth side, and he's got to pay his portion in all the other places. We learned it, that it's the Mikah. In Omad, Rabbi Yosef Omer, in Omad the Goder, and it goes on the Mikah. But we say that it's not necessary to say in Omad Mikah, because in Omad the Goder means the Mikah. Tosfos says in Omad, just look at your Tosfos is just a short Tosfos. In Omad the Goder S or the B is, Logos even Moshe. And the Godar S or the B is, says this Logar Sinan in Omad Mika. The whole Kuru Lishli the Gemora Koi Amakit. Because according to all the language of the Gemora, it's speaking about Makif Bar Min Lishno Basra. Because Omad Makif the Mikav Ikobinayu. We'll have to wait until we come to that piece of Gemara at the end in order to understand it. The whole diet prepare a case of the regal time of the Nika for Matthew Potter, Hainu Lahi Lishna. Let us just leave this until we get a little bit more from the Gemara, and then we'll come back to that case. Now, we are ready to start the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Halocha Karabi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. Now we've got no difficulties with that. Shmuel is a Talmid of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi was the person who was responsible for the redaction of the Mishnah. But as I explained to you many years ago, and today it's not such a chiddush anymore because the secular world has come to realize it and accepts it, that the Mishnah is not a code of laws. It was never intended to be a code of laws. The Mishnah is the Torah Shebar Peh, and the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi is the attempt or the determination at the preservation of the Torah Shebar Peh, that the Torah Shebar Peh shouldn't be forgotten. And so he says what the Tana is, got a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi is not interested in solving the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yosef, because this is the Torah Shebar Peh. This is what the Tanakam says, and this is what Rabbi Yosef says, and if they carry equal weight, even if we don't, we pass them like the one and not like the other, it's Torah Shebar Peh, and Shorev Shebar Peh carries equal weight. And that is an important thing to remember. Am I making myself clear? Menashe, you understand what I say? Or not? Tell me if you don't.
I understand thoroughly.
In the Mishnah, we have a machlokas. You know what a machlokas is? A machlokas is a difference of opinion.
No,
you see, one says like this and one says like that. It's a machlokas. So, sometimes we've got a machlokas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says so, Beis Shammai says so. Let us say we paskin in this particular case, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Now, one might think if we paskin like Beis Hillel, then that is the important point. It doesn't matter what Beis Shammai says, because we don't paskin. You know what paskin means?
No.
We decide like. Now, that was a Chinese word I used. And I use it just to see if you just say yes, yes, yes to everything I say. I knew you couldn't know the meaning of that word. Where do you know Chinese word? Have you got the idea?
Yes.
So now we pasten like Beis Hillel. That doesn't mean to say now Beis Shammai doesn't mean anything. They are both of equal importance to us. Although we pasten like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is just as important to us as Beis Hillel. Got the idea?
Yes.
Have you got anything to ask on that? The meaning of it. If we paskin like Beis Hillel, why should Beis Shammai be just as important as Beis Hillel? Surely Beis Shammai is wrong.
A different opinion.
But we paskin like Beis Hillel. So finish it. What do we want to worry about Beis Shammai?
Well, because both as important, as equally important.
But why should Beit Shammai be as important as Beit Hillel if you don't paskin like it? You understand what I'm asking you? That's a question you should ask me, but you didn't ask me, so I'm asking you. This is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef, working it out all. Now, I'll give you the easier answer.
That's true.
Are you following? What did you say?
That's
true. Hold on. I'll give you the easier answer. It is possible that when Moshiach comes, it is possible we'll change over in Paschal like Beit Shammai. That can be. It can be for the circumstances under which we live, we'll Paschal like Beit Hillel. But if we are living on a higher standard, we'll Paschal like Beit Shammai. And I'll probably give you an example of that later on today, but we'll get as far as that. You understand?
Continue.
That's right, we come to a decision. And once we come to a decision, we say that is the right decision. But what the other one says is very, it's very important to us. We always safeguard that, what the other one has said. Now, the Rambam is a code. In a code, he wouldn't bring the two views, he just brings the view that is apposite for the Psak, because that is only the code. That's all he does. Although the Rambam insists that it is more than a code. Excuse me, he says that his is also a preservation of the Torah Shabbat Pei. He also claims that. But he's made it in such a way that it should be completely easy for people to do it. I don't know if they ever realize that how difficult we'll find the Rambam. Because we don't do it without the Gemara. You see, the Rambam and Rashi must have had a difference of opinion also. The Rambam said that times have become so difficult that the Torah Shebaal Peh is going to be forgotten. So therefore he made the Rambam, and that is the essence of the Torah Shebaal Peh. He took it that the whole of the Gemara would be forgotten. Rashi said the Torah Shebaal Peh dare not be forgotten. So he didn't make a compendium of the Torah Shebaal Peh, but he made an exposition of the Torah Shebaal Peh so that we should be able to understand the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is the way we've got it today. So really, Rashi won here. Alright, now what happened was, Shmuel is a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi, and Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmud of Shmuel. Got it?
Is he Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda?
Shmuel is a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi. Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmud of Shmuel.
Right.
So here we've got Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, and Ochaka Rabbi Yosei. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the Aloha is like Rabbi Yosei. The Omar in Omar, the Kodares, or Rabbi is Magalpin, or Lobe Zako. Loshne Omad Nikap, Loshne Omad Maki. But he says it makes no difference whether it is the nikab or whether it is the makif. Now we can understand why they go out of their way to say we are not goreis in the Mishnah in omad nikab the godar esorabis, but just in omad the godar esorabis. Because if it would say in omad nikab the godar esorabis, this would exclude the makif explicitly. So that we don't want, because he's going to come in. Shmuel says, Loshna Omad Makif, Loshna Omad Nikaf, Loshna Omad Makif. Have you got it? Yes?
Goreis?
Goreis is we worded so. The version is so. We are Goreis so. Garcino, got the idea? Please remember that word. It's an important word to remember. Got the idea?
Yes.
Oh? Magalgin, Loshna Omad Nikab, Loshna Omad Maki. Magalgin Olavetako. Now, we've got no difficulty here. the way we learned it before, we would have had the difficulty to explain this according to Rashi. But now we've got no difficulty to explain it according to Rashi. Because Rashi would agree that if Omad Makiv, even if the Makiv fences it in, that the Nikaf can't say, I don't owe you anything, because he's receiving benefit from it. And once he's received benefit from it, he's got to pay. Mr. David Rand. Bit of Rashi on the Gemara. Lefi Mashe Godal, the whole, I'm sorry, the three Mashe, I'm sorry, there's no Rashi on that at all. Now we've got, so that is the statement. So now we've got to learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Omer im Omad Begodal is a Raviz Megalglin of Lobisakel, that if now the Nikab comes and fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay everything. And if the Maki fences in the fourth side, according to Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, he's also got to pay everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or his part in everything. Right. He's got to pay his proportionate part in everything. We learned. Now the thing is, what the next point that the Gemara is going to discuss is, what is the meaning of the words that Rabbi Yosef adopts? The Galgalin Olov Es Hakol. Itmer. So we've learned, Rabuna Omar Hakol Lefi Mashe Godal. What is Magalgalin Olov Es Hakol? He's got to pay now for everything according to that which the Makiv expended. Rather a strong amount, according to anything that the Makiv expended. He's got to give it back. Now, if you look at the Rashi, Lefi Mashe Godal, with one person missing here, isn't there? Mashe Godal, the whole Yetzir Shehelsi Boheno Rishon Yarzi Lo Mechza. Everything that the first one expended, he's got to give him back half. And what's about the fourth side? Must he give him back half?
No, certainly if the Maki built it, he must give him back
half. I don't know, give him back the whole. The Maki gets no benefit on the fourth side. Right.
If
the Nikab builds the fourth side, then does he pay half or does he pay the whole? He's got to pay the whole of it.
Now, just a minute. If the Maki happens to have bought that fourth
side, Fred Green has broken through. Right. Very good. But Rashi Bobakama learns that if the Makif does it, he's not going to come and just put on the fourth side.
Yeah.
The Makif does it, he does it for a reason. So he's bought the field on the fourth side now. And now he fences in the fourth side. So Rashi says that the Mashe Goda, the whole Yetzir Shehotzi Bohelo Rishon Yazilo Mechza. In all the expenses of the market, he's got to give back half. So we've had to learn now, that is the pshat that we've got to learn, and then the Rashi works out nicely. Got the idea? Max, are you troubled?
Yes.
What are you troubled about?
Making a small one.
I have a question. Is it the only one reason when Maki built the first wall,
yes,
when he is going to buy the land on that
well,
side?
The thing is,
maybe he has another reason. He would like to get at least some money from Nika. So
yes,
he just built the first wall in order to get the half of the
yes,
expenses.
Yes, now certain problems can arise. If, for example, he doesn't build the fourth wall, and he's just built this wall here, according to Rashi, Rashi could still say to him, I don't want to pay you. You fenced in my it doesn't need to be fenced in. Look all around there. Any other place is fenced in. It doesn't need to be fenced in. Mm-hmm. So then the market has got to say, yes, it's true, but you got some benefit from it. He says, I'm prepared to pay you some benefit, as we're going to see later. But I don't have to pay you everything. I don't have to pay you half. But here it says he has got to pay him half. Mm-hmm. So it seems that there is he's getting some benefit from it. But let us go further. You can't get it until we go further. Mm-hmm. Got the idea?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, itma, we learned in the memra Rav Huna Omrakel Lepi Masha Godar Chirba Rav Omrakel Lepi Demei Domim Bezal. He says he's got to pay for everything. Says Chirba Rav. He says that the hakol doesn't mean for all the expenses he's got to pay everything. It means to say he's got to pay for all the sides. For all the sides he's got to pay. Mm-hmm. But not the he doesn't have to pay all the expenses. That is the difference between Rav Huna and Chirba Rav. Says Omar Chirba Rav Omar hakol, the hakol that Rabbi Yosef says, in Omar the God of the Riba Galgrin or of his Akol, he says, Akol, repeated my Koli Bazol, he's got to pay for all, that is, all the times he's got to pay for all the work. But if he's got to pay Domi Bazol, he's got to pay it, if he's got to pay Domi Bazol. Nashwan. Do you understand that? He said, I couldn't put up a reed, a fence of reeds. Sticks, reeds. Don't have to put up an expensive fence of stones. So I'm prepared to pay what it would have cost you had you put up a fence of reeds. I'm prepared to pay you half of that. Mm-hmm. That is what Chirba Rav says. Mm-hmm. You follow? Mm-hmm. So that is the machlokas between Rav Huna. Avraham, have you got the machlokas? Mm-hmm. That is the machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yosef. It's the machlokas between Rav Huna and Chirba Rav. As to what Rabbi Yosef means, if Omar the God of Esavis Magalgalim Olov Esakal. Rav Huna says he's got to pay everything, the fee Mashe Godal, and Chirba Rav says, the Meikonim Bazel. What is it? The Omar that he says, look at your Rashi, the Omar lay, Levidi Sagidi Begedir Konim. For me, it would have been enough that I had. A gather of konim, the efshi behotzoi shall gather avonim. I don't need to expend money on a fence of stones. So now we've got a clear machlokas of Rav Huna and Rabbi and Chirba Rav in Rabbi Yosef. Got it? The machlokas of these two in Rabbi Yosef. Shalom Aleichem. Now begins to get exciting. Now the Gemara is going to make an inference. The Gemara is going to make an inference. And this is something that we work with very often. I've got two Yosefs here, haven't I? Is it Sam or Shmuel? Which must I call you?
It doesn't matter.
The Gemara is going to make an inference. Says the Gemara Tznach. We learned in our Mishnah, Hamakif is Chaberu Mishola, Shulchosa, the God of Esau Rishona, Vithashni is Emet Chayvin Osef. If the Makif fenced in both three fields around the Vigab, and
then
we're going to
get another
one. Then we would make him pay. So if the Maki fences in the fourth side, we would make him pay. Mm-hmm. Got it? So that is the inference. Now, if that is the inference, now let's start with the precisely. We are going to be in a difficulty. Don't forget how Shmuel learned Rabbi Yosef. How did Shmuel learn Rabbi Yosef? Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Halacha ke Rabbi Yosef. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. What is the halacha? What does that mean? Have you pardon? No, that is Rav Huna learned the Magadol of Yisrael. But what did Rabbi Huna or Rav, what was that all about? That's the important point. Good. Loshna nikaf. He says it makes no difference whether it's the nikaf or the makif. So according to the way we are learning it now, we learn it according to Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, when Rabbi Yosef Omer him Omer begodol esor viz magangin olav esakal. If the makif fulfills according to Rabbi Yosef, if the monkey fences in the fourth side, what would Rabbi Yosef say? He would have to pay. Right. Now, what is the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef? Let us just learn the Mishnah now. Let us learn the Mishnah now according to what we have learned. Hamakif es chaveru misholesh lechosa begodol es orishona v'sashni v'sashni is ein mechayvin esah. If with the makif fenced inside one side, two side, three, we don't obligate the nikaf to pay anything. Now the inference, but if the makif would have fenced in the fourth side, then we've got to obligate the nikaf to pay. So if the monkey fence is in the fourth side, we've got to, the nikaf has got to pay. And if the nikaf fence is in the fourth side, he's certainly got to pay. So the Tanakhama makes no difference whether it's the monkey or the nikaf. If he fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay. Rabbi Yosef Omer im Omer begodol esor reviz magalgin olav esakel. Rabbi Yosef says if he fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay for everything. And Rabbi Yehuda says it makes no difference whether it's the monkey or the nikaf. So what's the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef? They both say exactly the same thing. Got the idea? So what's the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef? That is the difficulty in which we find ourselves.
Can we say that maybe Rabbi Yosef only talks about the fourth wall, you pay all of it for the fourth wall?
Yes.
You mean that?
That he pays only
for all of the cost of the fourth wall, not all.
No, he says, but Dalglin, that you can't say. Nobody says that. They say the only question is, Hakol means for everything. It means, does it mean the expenses for the four sides, or does he pay for the four sides? That is the only question. You follow? But we've got to learn it that way. So now, that is the great question that the Gemara asks. So,
what do you say, Hakol? Does it mean half, or like they each pay half? Or
that he's got, he's got to pay his proportion for the whole. Right?
Might get half. No.
Yes, it will be cut to half. Got the idea? Now, let us go on from there. Now it says the Gemara. Again, Tanan asks the Gemara, Hamakif es chaveru, we learned in the Mishnah. Hamakif es chaveru, misholesh lechosa begodol esor rishon v'sashni v'sashni is. The makif is fenced inside one side, two side, three, ein mechayvin esor, then the nikaf hasn't got to pay anything at all. Horevi is, but if the makif fences in the fourth side, mechayvin esor, then he's got to pay for magalgalin olav esakol. If he fences in the fourth side, then he's got to pay for the first side, the second side, the third side, and the fourth side proportionately. Amos Seifor says the Gemara. Now let us say the Seifor. The Seifor is from the word Sof, the end of the Mishnah. That means the second half of the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Omerim Omer begodol esor reviz magalgalin olav esakol. Rabbi Yosef says, if he gets up and he fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay for everything. And don't forget, we are learning it according to Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. That means it makes no difference whether the makiv or the nikah fence is in the fourth side. He's got to pay everything. So what is the difference between the Talek Kama and Rabbi Yosei? No difference. Says the Gemara, no. According to Rav Huna, I can make a difference. Don't forget, Rav Huna, Aliba de Rabbi Yosei learns that when Rabbi Yosei says, Magdalin Olav is a coal, he's got to pay him for everything at all. That's what Rabbi Yosei says. He's got to pay him for everything. His proportion for everything. For all the expenses. That's what Rabbi Huna says. He says, Bishlama la Rabbi Huna. According to Rabbi Huna, he says the Gemara, I can work the Mishnah out that there is a machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yosei. Bishlama la Rabbi Huna, according to Rabbi Huna. The Omar HaKolefi Mashe Godarbo, that Rabbi Huna says that when Rabbi Yosei says, but Galgalin all of us are told, it means are told if he marches Godarbo. So we know what Rabbi Yosei says. Haino the ego ben Tanakama le Rabbi Yosei. Now I can make a distinction between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosei. Tanakama sovra tolefida me domin bazol. The Tanakama is of the opinion that if the maki senses in the fourth side, then by inference we said that the nikah has got to pay. Rav Huna would say, yes, he's got to pay, but the may call him bezel. He's only got to pay his portion for what a fence of reeds would have cost. The feed may not be bezel aim. Yes, that he's got to pay. Umashe Goda, no. But the full expenses he hasn't got to pay. But Rabbi Yosei saw what I told if he marshe Goda. And what Rabbi Yosei says, I told if he marshe Goda. That is the way Rabbi Huna explains Rabbi Yosei. Rabbi Yosei says, now he's got to pay half of the full expenses. So therefore, it works out nicely. Now, if you will remember, when we did this Gemara, what are the difficulties?
Right.
Yes, what do you want to ask? That's what I did that way.
What does
the fee Marshe Gadon mean? According to what he paid. I told Lefi Marshe Gadon. For the full expenses. Just a much later scene here. But he said, I told Lefi, Rav Huna says, I told Lefi Marshe Gadon has got to pay the full expenses. Right. Now, so if we were, this is the way Rav Huna would learn the Mishnah. Just let us go back now and learn the Mishnah according to Rav Huna. So now we've got to take in Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Aloha Rabbi Yosei Loshna Goda Nikaf Loshna Goda Makif, we've got to take that. And Rav Huna says that when Rabbi Yosei says in Omar the Goda is the Raviz Magalgalin Olavisako, what is Magalgalin Olavisako? Lefi Mashe Goda. Ato Lefi Mashe Goda. The proportion of all the expenses. Now, we could learn the Mishnah very comfortably, says the Gemara, according to Rav Huna, Aliba de Rabbi Yosei. Yes, Lee.
Just one question. Rav Huna, Paskin's the same as Rav Yosei? Is that? Or?
No, he's not dealing with it. We know that the Pesach now from Shmuel, we know that the Pesach is Rabbi Yosei. We just have to clarify, what does Rabbi Yosei mean, but Galgalin Olav is that goal? Does it mean full expenses, or just means he's responsible for four walls, but the feeder may domain bezel, the feeder may call him bezel. He said, I could manage with a cheaper wall. All right?
Yes.
Now, let us just learn the Mishnah according to Rav Huna, and it works out beautifully. If he fences in three sides, then he hasn't got, and he doesn't fence in the other three sides, aim at hiding us. So we don't obligate the nikaf to pay anything, because the nikaf can say, I've got no benefit, my fourth side is open. But if he does fence in the fourth side, then he's got to pay him, but the mate call him the zone. That's Rav Huna. The Mike calling himself. Rabbi Yose Omer, Rabbi Yose says, if Omer the goddess of Reviz, if he fences in the fourth side, and you remember, it doesn't matter whether the maki or the nikaf. So if the maki fences in the fourth side, Magalgalin all of his account, he's got to pay for everything. What does Rav Huna say? Let the Tolefi Mashi Goda, the full expenses. So that is the difference, according to Rav Huna, we can comfortably learn the Mishnah, and we've got a difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yose. The Tanakhama says, if he fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay, but to make one of his own. And Rabbi Yose says, he's got to pay the Tolefi Mashi Goda. Words got very nicely. How's it going? Tough?
No, I'm sounding good.
Easier than the first time, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Now, you only begin to understand it when you've gone through it four times with the Rashi. Then you begin to understand it. But we won't get through it four times because we've got to get a move on. Getting the idea? I thought I saw Dr. Don Ruder walking in.
Yes.
You're here. Oh, good, Don. Right. Now says the Gemara, Elo lechio barav de Omar atel lefi domin bezel, my eko ben tana kamala Rabbi Yose. But according to chio barav, who says Rabbi Yose says the may domin bezel? What is the machlokas between the tana kamo and Rabbi Yose? Either may koni bezel lefi yoi blei. If he doesn't give him the may koni bezel, because we've got to say that according to the Tanakhama, if the maki fences in the fourth side, the nikah pays him less than according to Rabbi Yose if the maki fences in the fourth side. So if it's not the Meikoni Bezel, because that Rabbi Yose says he gives him the Meikoni Bezel, Maiko Yoevle, what does the nikah give to the maki? Says the Gemara, I can still work it out there. If you want to, you can say it is the fee of a watchman is between them. Now the fee of a watchman is very little, because it is only through the when the grain is ripe that he's got to pay a watchman. So it's much less. Then the Tanakhama says that if the maki fences in the fourth side, then the nikav has got to pay for him, the mei natiro has got to pay for him. But the mei koni bezol, he hasn't got to pay. But the mei koni bezol, he cannot ask of him. But Rabbi Yose saw the make konim bezel. And Rabbi Yose says, no, he's got to pay more, he's got to pay the make konim bezel. So now, let us learn the Mishnah according to Chiyo Barav. So we learn that according to Chiyo Barav, we learn it like this. Amaki v'chaveru misholesh v'tosu v'godoreth olichonu v'tashnigi v'tashlichit. If the maki fenced in the three sides, ein mechayvi nesel, we are not mechayv the nikav to pay anything at all. But if the maki fenced in the fourth side, then we are mechayev the nikav. What are mechayev in the nikav? The mei natiro. Only for the watchman. Rabbi Yose says, im omer begodeh reserviz, magalgalin olam esakol, that if the maki for the nikav fenced in the fourth side, he's got to pay magalgalin olam esakol. That is the Meikonim Bezol he's got to pay. So, now we've got a Peshat that we can learn our Mishnah both according to Rav Huna and according to Rabbi Chiyo, Alima de Rabbi Yose. Let us do the Rashi on that.
A little bit of a problem when it says as I call, really everybody would understand this to refer to the proportion that the first gentleman spent.
Well, you say everybody's not everybody here, but Rav doesn't say so. You follow me, you're safe?
Yes, but the term Hakol doesn't that indicate to me.
No, he says, Rav Huna says, but Galgulin all of us are told, then we roll the whole thing onto him. What is the whole thing? All the money that the Makiv spent, we roll onto the Nikah. Here Bharam says, yes, Bhagavatam, we roll all the four sides onto the nikab. He's responsible for all the four sides. How much is he responsible? That's another thing. So according to Rahuna, the atoll goes on the expenses, and according to Khebarava, all the expenses, according to Khebarava, all the four sides. That is the way. But you're right, you're saying, atoll does mean everything. But the thing is, what is the thing? Is it the expenses or the four sides? Please have something to drink, and then we can go on with the learning. You please, you carry on sipping your tea and having your refreshments. In Johannesburg, they have the University of the Witwatersrand. Now, the University of the Witwatersrand.
I'm sorry, Mom, could you speak up just a little?
In Johannesburg, they have a university, the University of the Witwatersrand. And the University of the Witwatersrand was a top university, and its degrees were recognized all over the world, but there was never any question if a person came with a degree from the University of the Witwatersrand, they just sailed through everywhere else. And it was the course was the BA course. One had to take, it was spread over 3 years, and you had to take 11 courses. Now, over those 3 years, two courses were majors. So on two courses, you spend 3 years on each course. So there you had six courses. But the laws were very strict with regard to that. For example, today, you can take tennis, is that right, as a subject?
Tennis appreciation.
You don't actually have to play at all. It's hard to appreciate. Or the history of tennis appreciation.
You see, now, you couldn't take those subjects. Mm-hmm. That is first thing. The second thing is, then, you have to... For example, if a person was majoring in English and in Latin, then he had to take at least one course in Greek, in classical Greek. But it was so arranged that there were the ancillary subjects. Now, you couldn't take a subject like religious studies. I'm sorry, am I offending you, D? No. You couldn't take a subject like religious studies, you see. That was regarded, that they called that a humbug subject. You couldn't take a subject like Talmud. You couldn't, if you wanted to take religious subject, religious studies, you had to take Hebrew as a subject. And then you could take, but then it was, the Jewish studies was an ancillary to Hebrew. Now, you couldn't do, where I come to that, you couldn't do this, for example, Semitics or something without doing two Semitic languages, which was Hebrew and Aramaic. You had to do it that way. So there were restrictions. But after 3 years, you got your degree in two major subjects. Then, before you took a master's degree, you had to do an honors degree. An honors degree was 2 years. And an honors degree, you specialize in one of your majors. You follow? So you could specialize in Latin, you could specialize in English, you could specialize in Greek, or you could specialize in classical languages and do Latin and Greek. But then it was an honors course 2 years. And after that, you went for your master's course. So your master's course you could only do after 5 years of study, but you had to do your master's in a course in which you've got an honors degree. You follow? That was the standard. It was a very good standard. I'm using in the past tense. As time went on, they opened the university to the blacks. Now, the Professor Tobias, who is the head of the medical school, spoke about this. He spoke to my wife and myself about this. This must be, well, nearly 30 years ago. that because he was called up to Uganda to do the examination of medical students in Uganda, and he used to come back and tell us, said, you know, it's too terrible. You ask a student a subject, he will give you the exact answer that he gives you in the textbook. But if you ask him something that is maybe in Dovor Vitoch Dovor, that you've got to analyze, you've got to say, well, this is, I would say that my knowledge on this point and this point and this point, this is the way I would do. That they couldn't do. He said, well, I mean, so I said, so what did you do? Did you fail them? He said, no, you can't fail them. Otherwise you've got no doctors there. So you've got to pass them, and he passes them. Then came the position in South Africa that they opened the university to the blacks. There used to be universities for blacks. They opened the university, this was some time ago already, this is about nearly 10 years ago. They opened the university for the blacks. So what did they do? They reduced the standard. Now they reduced the standard so much that the top people in the university resigned. The principal, the chancellor, they resigned. They said, well, you know, it's not worth it anymore. So the university has deteriorated altogether. But what I want to tell you is this, that when I was in Johannesburg, I gave a shiur once a week at the university and once a week at the medical school. Now the medical school was separated from the university. It was in another, not terribly far, but you couldn't walk if you had to take a car from the one to the other. So the time came when I was so occupied that I had to drop one. So I said I was dropping the one at the university. And they wanted to know why was I dropping the one at the university in preference to the one at the medical school. I said very simply, when I finish my shiur and I leave the lecture hall to go to my car at the university, I pass groups of students on the way. And I listen to their conversation. Sometimes I stop, I have a word or two with them. Their conversation is always about something that's got nothing to do with their studies. When I finish a shiur at the medical school, I go down, I find groups of students speaking. They are speaking only about the medicine. That's the difference. Now, we have a break for tea. And there's a beautiful sound that pervades these premises. A lot of conversing going on. I can't hear what's going on. But I imagine, or I would like to imagine, that the subject is on the Gemara that we've been dealing with all the time. Now, I'm not going to ask you if I'm right or if I'm wrong. If I'm right, you don't have to tell me something. If I'm wrong, I would rather be happy in my ignorance than miserable in my knowledge. Are you in the same group as he is?
Not in the same shiur as he is, but the same neighborhood.
Good. Are you going back to Israel now?
God willing.
Then what does that mean? God willing that there's no war? Or God willing I'm going back?
Well.
Oh no, just look at the time. We didn't do the Rashi on this last part, did we?
No.
Let us do the Rashi on the last part. Rashi says, Hochi Garcina, the second line in the Gemara. Hochi Garcina, Tanan. We have learned Hamakiv is Chaveru Megibur Ruchoso. Ein Mechayvin Esel, or Rabbi is Mechayvin Esel. Ein Mosefer, Rabbi Yose Omer, etc. Rabbi Gondar is Orishono. Ein Mechayvin Esel. That is just to see that the Girso is in order. He's just giving the Girso there. Rabbi Yose Omer. Then it goes on. Ho. Just remember. Ho, Rabbi is Amos Sefer Rabbi Yosef, Omer Begodis, Rabbi is Magal Kulina. good resolution. Yes, it was. And then it goes on. Then it just goes on. It's the gifts that he's just putting the gifts or making sure of the gifts. The whole lo ahani lay midi, because if he fences in the three sides, he hasn't helped him at all. Sharei golu ihu mitzad rabi, is because it is open on the fourth side. Ho im godar od makiv ezor rabi. But this is the inference. But if the makiv should fence in the fourth side, mechayvin said ahani lay. Then he's got to give him because he gives him that anuah. Amos Seifo, this is only the question that the Gemara asks. Amos Seifo, say the Seifo, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Vishlema la Rabbuna. Oh, according to Rabbuna de Omer HaKol, the Rabbi Yosef, Bamashe Godal, who, if according to Rabbuna, Hainu de Iko Ben Tanakam de Rabbi Yosef, the Tanakam de Lo Nokat Lishne de HaKol, the Tanakama doesn't use the language of HaKol. Sova de me konim bezelhu de merchayvim esel. We can say that he says that if he fences in the fourth, then the Nikav has got to pay him de me konim bezel. But Rabbi Yosi Sova, and Rabbi Yosi says, according to Rabbuna, he's got to pay him lefi mashe godav. Now, says, this is an important piece of Rashi, and the benefit, the credit for understanding the Rashi, goes to David via Ezra. Is that right?
That's right, sir.
The whole lekol ameimer the tano kama davke in goder makif es revizu mechayvim esel. Aber in goder nikav lo, we can't say that the tano kama is of the opinion that it's only if the makif fences in the fourth side that he's got to give him. Aber in goder nikav lo. And if the Nikah fences in the fourth side, he hasn't got to pay him. And Rabbi Yosef says that if the Nikah fences in the fourth side, he's got to pay him. He says, you can't say that. The Kolshkein who? Because there's a Kolshkein. Hashto Heicho de la Golidai to the Nikhalei be a Kaper Komachayvlei. Where he doesn't begali his das, he's got to pay him. Kolshkein Heicho de Golid. All the more so when he shows that he's satisfied. Or a Rabbi Yosef Nami, and Rabbi Yosef also Kusanto Daito Chashto, the Tano Nika Behua Din Lamakif, that we are learning according to Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel said, that the Rabbi Yosef is learning Nika Behua Din Lamakif, Elo Begilgu de Hakolu de Pliki. The Machlokas is in the meaning of Hakolu. If we will say that the learned according to Chiyo Barak, that Rabbi Yosef, when he says Megalgalin Olov Es HaKol, means that he pays him the Meikonim Bazel, then you've got to say that according to the Tanna Kama, he's got to give him less, so he doesn't give him the Meikonim Bazel. So if he doesn't give him the Meikonim Bazel, my Mechayvim Bazel, the Daik Vim say, what is he got to give him? Because we have inferred that when the Makif fences in, he's got to give him. But if you say he doesn't even have to give him the Meikomim Bezel, what does he give him? Answers the Gemara, Yoyevlei Agar Natiro. We can learn it according to Chiyah Barav, that the Tanakami is of the opinion he's got to give him the Meikomim. Dovor Muat, something a little bit. That he's got to give a little bit, that he's got to give to a watchman when the grain is standing ready to be cut. The Tana comes over the maybe these Yoyevlei in Godrom Maki. I'm sorry, that goes on further. That goes on further. I promise you that I'll do the test, so we've got a little bit of time, let us do the test. In Omar, the God of Esavir, no Garcinan in Omar, Nikav. He says, we don't say we are not Gaures im Omad Nikab, but we are Gaures im Omad, im Omad Nikab, the Humlakul Lichti the Gemara Koi Amaki. Because the whole of the Gemara is speaking about the that it is the Makif or the Nikab. Barmi Lishno Basro, excepting down at the bottom, where we haven't reached that, Dika Omar Makif and Nikab Ikobinahu. There we make a distinction between Makif and Nikab, and we will say that the Rabbi Yosef speaks only about the Nikab. So, the Tosfos says, since all this Gemara makes no distinction in Rabbi Yosef between Makif and Nikab, we cannot go race in the Mishnah im Omar Nikab begodar. We can't do that. Learn that way, yes. Word it that way. Now, I says the Gemara behold the die prepared a case at Oregel time of the Nikab or Makif potu. In case at Oregel, we quote Rabbi Yosef where it says im Omar begodar. And there the Gemara makes the inference. There, if that is Nikab, but if the Makif, then he doesn't have to pay him, or Makif Potter, so how do we do it there? He says, Hainu Lahahu Lichno. That is according as we explain it at the very bottom, which we haven't come to. There is the difference, he says, there you can learn that it's only Nikab. So there the Gemara is taking just that little bit of explanation, and does it that way. All right. The main point in the Zohar, ask the Gemara Akasha. The Imtelver Maishna Mishrobi Soda She'eno Asu Yelita. The Imnoda Chabero She'lo Birshus Omar Rabu Shmuel Ba'ashoel Shamin Be'ovi Yodel Alatach Tel No. Now, there we have to understand what is Tosfos Akasha. So I'm just telling you the Gemara there. The Gemara is, there is a man who has got a biko. It's in a biko. In a biko, open spaces, like in the Midwest, and there is a sedei robot, a field for grain, wheat, barley, soya, maize, that sort of thing is growing there. Comes a man, and let us say, plants trees there. He puts tomatoes. He's not stopped from doing so, and now he wants to be paid for what he has done. The din is shamin v'yodel ala tachterno. We assess it, and his hand is below. That means the hand of the noteya, the hand of the stranger who went and planted trees there, is below. What does it mean below? So Rashi explains. If now the profit that one gets from the field is more than the expenses, then he gets the expenses that what it cost him. That the owner of the field has got to pay. If the expenses are more than the profit that it yields, then he gets paid the profit and not the expenses. That's what it means, yodo ala tachtelno.
Well, would this be added profit? Say, it's growing wheat.
It's not so clear, but let us say, in order to make it simpler, let us say, the field now, what is it worth? Is the improvement worth more? Then he plays in the expenses. Are the expenses more than the improvement is worth? Then he prays in the improvement. Right? That is the shamin. Now, the Gemara asks the question on the May, Domim, the May, Konim Bezo. So the question is, according to Chiya Barav, he pays him to make Konim Bezel. How can he pay him to make Konim Bezel? Is the make Konim Bezel less than the expenses?
Yes.
Less than the expenses. And if the profits are less than the expenses he pays him, the profits will increase, then certainly. So the Meir Konim Bezel is less than the Gemara says there. So how can he pay him less? That is Tosfos' question. But Omer Ri, and the Ri says, the shiny hochi, the motor omale, le divi sagi le binatiro barzuzo. He says, here it is different, because the nikaf can say, as far as I'm concerned, all it's worth to me is the amount I would have to use to put up a watchman. So he's got a strong claim to give less. There the owner of the field can't say, it's worth to me less than the expenses, or it's worth to me less than the ground is worth. He can't say that. Yeah, he's got a chance to say that it is worth less to me. So the Rebbe says, that is why. So why should he give him the Meikoni Bezo? If he could say that all I need to give you, or all it's worth to me, is to keep a watchman, then why should he pay the Meikoni Bezo? Says Tosfos, Umikolmokum de Meikoni Bezo Yoivle, da Hanan Sahadai. Because we are witnesses. Abizdin is witnesses. If he could get it so cheaply, a very good fence, and he could get it for paying for a reed fence, that is a fence that should cost 600, and he can get it at half of 600, that is, would he have to pay 300, and he can get it for 200 or for less, person is only to please to have a nice fence, and he'll pay that. He's paying so much less. That we'll have to discuss in greater detail in the Hirtz Hashem. We meet again next week when Yaakov Schneider may be here or may not be here. Is that correct, Yaakov?
That's correct. That's correct.
Right. I think it's a reception for a Markiel Kotler. The Markiel Kotler is the grandson of the Aaron Kotler, and that is his picture. And the Aaron Kotler landed in that place 50 years ago. He was 50 years ago, that makes it in 1940. And he was escaping, that is when Germany marched into Poland, and Reb Aaron Kotler was the Rov and the Rosh Yeshiva of the Kletzke Yeshiva. Lovely Yeshiva. And the Germans marched in from one side and the Russians from the other side, and of course everything went, and he managed to escape. And he escaped behind the Russian lines, made his way to Siberia. From Siberia he made his way to China. From China he made his way to Japan. From Japan he made his way to the United States. Now, Reb Aaron Kotler was a Goan. And you don't know what a Goan is. And a Goan is a person, so whatever he does, he's great in whatever he would do. It doesn't matter. If he would do engineering, he would be great in engineering. If he would do medicine, he'd be great in medicine. Whatever he would do, he would be great in that subject. That is a good. Now, when he came to America in 1940, and he's a Rosh Yeshiva, so he immediately squatted and started the yeshiva. And there was Torah Lishmo didn't exist in America until he came here. The Torah that was here, people studied in yeshivas. If they wanted to become rabbis, they went to a yeshiva. If they wanted to become shochtim, they went to a yeshiva. They used the yeshiva as a means of earning a living. If they wanted to escape the war, they called it the draft, is that what they call it here? Mm-hmm. If they wanted to escape the draft, they went to a yeshiva. But to learn just out of the love of learning, and only for learning, that didn't exist in America. Then Aaron Kotler came, and at the same time, Reb Elyahu Meir and Reb Motel Katz, those three came, and they changed the face of Torah in America. If Aaron Kotler came and he had about 30 students, he started, I was told I'll get from him, I'll see him, I'll get the whole story. And he let go of these people immediately. Afterwards he said, no, I don't want them, and I want only Americans. And he started with Americans, and he started Torah Lishma. If anybody said he wants to become a rabbi, he said, you're not my cup of tea. You have to go to another place. And in Telch, with under your mayor and the bottle cuts, they did the same thing. But this is to commemorate or to celebrate the landing of Reb Kotler, Reb Aaron Kotler, in the United States, and from that moment there was Torah in the United States. And that was exactly 50 years ago. Now, we are all part of this, and you will be getting invitations. Please keep that night open. It's an important occasion. First of all, it's supporting the idea of Torah Lishma. Secondly, it is honoring the memory of Reb Aaron Kotler. And thirdly, it is something from which we will gain, and we will be inspired by the Torah that was there. I told you what happened to me when...
It's all gone. It's gone.
Yeah. Because of me or... anyway, so we've only got to gain by going there. It's on a Sunday night, says Dr. Ron Ruder. So please keep that night open only for that purpose. I'm making myself available also to be there.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be in San Francisco. Is there a place called 14th Avenue?
Yeah.
That is where the Hebrew Academy is.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the premises of the Hebrew Academy on 14th Avenue. You'll all be getting invitations because Mrs. Bergman was good enough to send on, what do you call those things, David?
The labels.
Labels. To send on the labels to Rabbi Lippner. Right? Please remember it. Kevin, double enter. Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday is Yom Kippur Kotel. So we've got a Yom Kippur Kotel service at Shul. I thought it was at 6:45, but I stand corrected.
Is it was a minute at 6:45, and do I understand that we have yet to the cotton service of the morning?
No, this is it's all one. It's a minute for Yom Kippur Kotel.
Okay, then we started at 6:45.
6:45. We start at 6:45 on Monday afternoon. It's a Yom Kippur cooking service, and immediately after that, we say into my.
Was a lovely medley by Malcolm Dalglish and Gray Larson from their Banished Misfortune album. Started out with Gray Larson's air, Tar Hollow, followed by Malcolm Dalglish's Dog in the Mustard. And then a whole bunch of traditional Irish tunes, Kid on the Mountain, Drops of Brandy, Fox Hunter's